Amen. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Romans chapter 1. We're going to start with verse 18 tonight. When we get in these portions of Scripture from 18 to 32, this is probably, in my opinion, one of the hardest portions to preach. Because there are so many areas here that deal in personal areas that, believe me, sin has to be dealt with. How many believe that? And I want to make this statement to you. I never want to change God's character by my preaching. He is Lord of all. I mean, understand that. I never want it to be where I portray him in any other light than how he is. He gets a bad rap in so many levels. So many people blame him for things when he isn't to be blamed at all. Say amen. So when we go through these portions of Scripture, you're going to see some hard words like the wrath of God. You're going to see the things where he gives them over to. I want you to know that God is always good and holy, even through these verses. Say amen. Amen. So tonight I'm going to lay some groundwork in those areas. Next week, we're going to be dealing with the sins itself. And they're pretty extreme. I mean, if you don't want God in your heart, you don't just stay neutral. It always progresses. I mean, that's our human nature. I mean, it's just the grace of God that none of us are in a place different than it is right now. I mean, you're thankful for Jesus. Where would you be without Christ? And what would you be doing without him? Say amen. So truly, when it comes to these areas, there's a lot of grace. God's not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. In this section between 18 and 32, this section relates to the world or the unbelieving world, or if you want to call it the heathen world. And starting with verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Notice that the wrath of God, it's this, it's his personal displeasure at sin. It's the conscious transgression. It's the apostasy, it's the unbelief. All these things separate us from God. God has a displeasure of us going after the lust of the flesh. How many understand that? Do you know he's created us in true holiness? He's created us in righteousness. Yet man has sinned and chosen that road of separation. When he created Adam and Eve, how many knows he made them like himself? I mean, understand that. That means we bear the image of the heavenly. We do. As well as the earthly. So when sin entered the world, that whole dimension of the demonic, that whole dimension of sin entered into the human race. And from there, it's crushed mankind. In fact, sin has affected every single person who's ever been born. Because death came by sin. I mean, understand that. When it comes to sin, if we continue in sin, it compounds. And there are some sins that, listen to me, that are without. But some sins you actually sin against your own body. That makes it a greater level of not only destruction, but also chaos in our own personal lives. Say amen. There are some things you'll do that, listen, okay, you got away with that. You know, you're guilty, whatnot. There are some sins that you commit against yourself, your whole life is altered. Say amen. Listen to me. God has a displeasure with sin. He loves the sinner, but it separates us from him. When we deal with these verses of Scripture, you're going to see a conscious effort of not wanting God in your life. And that's where the level starts to go to another place. All of us in here, the Holy Spirit has moved. But the resistance of his spirit brings forth a layer, listen to me, of veil, of blinders. And I've learned this. The more you block God out, the more you don't want him out, the more it seems like those scales are built. And how many know sometimes you could hear the message and still not receive it? If you're taking notes. In Ephesians 2, 3, and 4, all of us have had our conversations in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. But God, let me say, but God. But God, who is rich in mercy, in his great love, where he loved us, he went after us. So when it comes to these portions of Scripture, it isn't that God doesn't want to reach them. The truth is this, people don't want to be reached and they don't want him in their life. Say amen. In Romans 1 verse 6, it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from where? Somebody say from heaven. It's revealed from his high and holy place in that supernatural world where his divine government and throne is. That's where it's being revealed from. It isn't on an earthly level. It's not against a particular person. It's against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness. That means personal misconduct towards God. Well, why wrath? Why does it have to be worded that way? It's reason here. It's the rejection of truth by man. Listen, if you reject the only hope and the only help, what more is there? How many understand that? It isn't that God's up in heaven going, I just can't wait to send you to hell. No, it's like this. I love you so much. I've done everything for you. But now you've rejected the truth. I'm trying to spare your life. But if you continue in sin, it will destroy you. For whatsoever a man sows, that will he reap. And today more than ever, our society is sowing sin like never before. Would you agree? It's sin upon sin today. It's sin upon sin today. I'm going to read the statement to you. The wrath of man, what man does, is a passion and destroys the sinner. God's wrath is a calm and holy power to restore a sinner by destroying sin. How many understand that? God's power is this. God's wrath is a calm, holy power that restores the sinner by destroying the sin. The world's guilt reached its climax when Christ was crucified on the cross. He bore the sins of the world. How many understand that? He took the place of that. Think about it. Jesus has already died for people's sins. And you want to stay in your sin? Can you see how it's such an affront to God? That I've done everything. I've given my own life to get you out of that situation. I lived my whole life unselfishly. I did everything for you. I told you I was coming. I gave you my word. I gave you my spirit. I even gave you my son. And yet you still choose sin over me. How many can see why it goes to another level? It isn't that God's being mean. He's done everything he can. Jesus paid the price if only man would turn from their wicked ways. See, people don't want to turn. They want to keep those areas. They'd rather go after their own ideas, their own heart inclinations. But it ends up being a prison house. Say amen. You end up being caught in your own sin. Now, some of you can relate to this. When you were young, how many felt like there was more than what you had going on in your life, even though you were doing things? How many ever felt an emptiness? Middle of the night, there's got to be more than this. When Christ came into your life, how many here realized your eyes were open like, oh my gosh, I was missing it? Anybody here? I mean, that reality is still upon us today. People's minds and hearts, listen to me, are failing them for fear. All right? Now, Lauren, she has a testimony she'd like to share. Would you like to come on up here? Amen. Let's look at verse 19. It says this, because that which is known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. There are three areas that God has made known. He has made known that he is real. He has made known that what he has done. And he has made known the knowledge in people's hearts. Do you know all nature shows his glory? I mean, understand that. Do you know there's too much order and design to have chaos? Even if you didn't know the Lord and you were some remote area in the middle of nowhere, you could look up and go, all creation shows his glory. Secondly, there's something in each heart that God puts in there, a desire to know. Do you know he's given every man a measure of faith? It's just your desire to use it or not. And the third thing is, he's given us his Holy Spirit. It's still on this planet. There is no reason why there isn't anybody on this whole earth, even in the most remotest place, that couldn't turn their life over to the Lord. Do you understand that? When it comes to this, it says this, I have made known that I am real. Do you know what? God has made himself known on this planet. Jesus didn't die in a corner somewhere. He didn't die in an offshoot that nobody knew. Do you know that it was darkness that covered the land when he died? I mean, that's pretty cataclysmic. Yeah. I mean, it was that even now there's a witness. There's a witness of the Holy Spirit. You're a witness. In this earth, listen to me, people know, but they don't want the truth. Come on. God's revealed himself, each individual. In Romans 2, verse 15, it says this, I've shown that work written upon their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness. Hallelujah. See, God's good. In 1 John 1:19, John says, I am a record that he's real. How many knows that he sent the Apostle Paul as a record that he's real? He sent Peter as a record, and he sent you, there's a record that he's real. When it comes to people, when God says the wrath of God is going to be revealed, it isn't because they don't want to know. It's not because they don't want to know. They're pushing out the wisdom they could have. I choose not to know. I've had some teachers in school that just chose, I don't want to believe that. That can't be real. I've had some arguments in those areas. I had one teacher said, no Christian passes my class because you can't prove God is real. I took that challenge on. I did. I said, if you're open, I will show you that he is real. And I went through the scriptures. I put things together. I arranged it. And you know what? He couldn't refute it either. You know why? Because the Holy Ghost shows up. How many of us, he wants to reveal himself. There's external revelations. In Romans 1, verse 20, the invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen and being understood in things that are made, even as eternal Godhead and power, that they're without excuse. When God comes, he also brings special revelation through the scriptures and the work of Christ. And even Jesus said, I've come to do my Father's will. Do we need any more witness that even God himself spoke to people? How much more witness do we need to show that he is real? He said, I'm going to go myself and I'm going to share the testimony. And I won't just share about me, I'll share my Father because he is real. Everything that God's done has been clearly seen. Even today, man is without excuse. God has revealed himself in practical ways. He's given knowledge. Listen to me, if we don't serve him, it's our choice. If we choose to choose sin, it's our choice. Everywhere you go, we have revelation available, but we can block that out. Somebody say, block that out. How many of those, even on the airways today, there are still some people that are preaching a message? Amen. Say amen. Come on. Even you're written and known amongst. That message, when it gets in you, is written on your hearts. You may not be able to quote the verse or the Bible chapter exactly, but when you have it in your heart, it's written there. Now, it's nice to know the reference where it's at so you can find it again. But how many know that God writes it on your heart? Even tonight, he's going to inscribe in your heart. This tonight will have eternal value for you. Because God, by the Holy Spirit, is going to impart that area. You're not going to be the same after this tonight. I'm serious. You're not going to be the same. You have to look at it like, you know what? I'm hearing God's word. And God's word will not return void. Look at verse 21. Because of that, when they knew God, somebody say knew God. Yeah. They neither glorified him as God, but became unthankful, which became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Notice they had a revelation of him, and they choose not to be thankful, and now they're walking in vain imaginations. And people are doing that more than ever. People are living in different worlds, even though they're in this world. And that's my caution when it comes to virtual reality, the headsets that people cannot, because they can live in an altered state and stay there. Come on, this is a generation we're living in today. It says, even though they knew God. Now notice, it starts off unthankful. I've learned this over the years in the ministry. When you become unthankful, usually the next step is unholy. Make sure you're cautious with those things. Now, I don't thank God for cancer. I don't. He hates it as much as I do. But I thank God that he'll see me through. That God will be there for me. He'll never leave me or forsake me. I'm his kid. I can find something to be thankful for. But the Bible says this, that they didn't even thank God, even though they knew. When you turn away from God, you forget, and then when you forget, you forsake. I said, when you forget, you forsake. Notice it becomes vain. What that means is idle and foolish. In Isaiah 44, verse 9, they make graven images like themselves, detestable things that doesn't profit. They don't see, they don't hear, and listen to me, they're not even ashamed. It becomes idol worship, and there's a lot of that today. It doesn't have to be this gold statue at the end of the room. It can be a whole lot of people. I've seen people make people of idols. There are people on this planet that can quote more about what somebody else has done than what Jesus has done. How many of you can get out of balance? I've seen people worship vehicles. Hello? They put that over everything. I've seen people worship animals over people. Now, it's nice to have a pet, but you can't worship the thing. Hallelujah. And when it comes to idols, I want you to know that God does pick on them. Here's what he says. Does your idol, can it hear? Can it touch? Can it run? Maybe it's out to the bathroom. Does it answer prayer? How many knows God has a way? Vanity always begins in the inward life. Once you forget God and neglect the truth, your thoughts and your reasoning become off. I said, once you forget God, listen to me, you neglect the truth, your thoughts and your reasonings become off. And that is so true. I've seen some highly educated men and women that believe some goofy stuff and try to explain it away. Listen to me, do you know at the end of their life, one day they'll see him and go, I was wrong? He'll never deny himself. Do you realize that he's going to outlive everyone here on this planet? I am the way, the truth, and the life. We better embrace the truth because otherwise we will believe a lie. Amen? He's dealing with this in the first chapter of Romans. They knew God, yet they didn't glorify him as God. And then they became vain in their thinking. When your thinking gets off, your life gets whacked. Is that good preaching? Yeah. Listen to me. Once you neglect God or you forget God, you neglect the truth, and have the inability to distinguish between good and evil, to make good moral choices. When you reject God, all of a sudden you're going to call evil good and good evil. I see that in our politicians. You know, sometimes I really listen to some of these people, and it's flat whacked out. I mean, it has no reasoning at all. It's always sound like there's a spirit operating behind the scenes, and they're just the mouthpiece, I swear. I've seen it in many. When you don't want God, your thinking gets off. And now you're going to call good evil and evil good. That's why we got to check out what it says and where it's at. Amen? Amen. Listen to me. Once you forget God and neglect the truth, yourself proclaimed ability to live is now without him. So you'll declare, what do I need God for? I'm okay. You're okay. We're just going to go on. Hey, if there's a heaven, I'll be there. All of a sudden, by your own works and your own vain imagination, you think you can make it there when you're still living in sin. And see, that's the deception. And I know that James and I had this conversation before service. Listen, I've met some people that said they're born again, spirit-filled, and believe all kinds of goofy, unbelievable stuff like, you can't be saved, brother, sister. That's not even God. Yet they totally believe that's the truth. You've got to have the word in you. It keeps you grounded. It keeps you solid. Just because people say, Lord, Lord, doesn't mean they serve the same Lord you do. And even Satan transforms himself into an angel of light. That means he'll bring a word, but it's a little bit off. It sounds good, But even the concept or where it fits in or it's totally off. You need the total word. Amen? More than ever, we need the word of God. Look how many lies are bombarding our ears every day. How many of this word is truth? Christians need to get back to the basic word of God. We're so entertained today that we've missing out. Listen to me. You can't live on candy every week. Sooner or later, you're going to need a knife and a fork. Sooner or later, you're going to need some conviction set in and say, Lord, I don't want to be like that. Amen? Look at verse 22. Professing themselves to be wise. Now, he's dealing with people that are know the truth but have walked away, don't want it. They become fools. Notice they present, I am smart, I'm this, you weak-minded Christians. They throw all that out there. But God said you become a fool. They'd rather worship birds and animals rather than God. I break this down to you. I love this. In the Greek, literally, fool means moron. God says this, you say you're smart, you don't have me in your life, you're a moron. Say amen. Amen. They call themselves wise, God says you're a moron. I want you to be smart. I've given everything. Now you've turned my glory into some foolishness. You exchange the truth for a lie. How many of those knowledge tends to puff up? It does. 1 Corinthians 8:1. But love edifies. But sometimes we can be like, well, I'm educated in this, and I believe this. Ugh. Yet it goes against all the wisdom of God. And you can take that to your grave. I hope that Charles Darwin, before he died, repented. I don't know. I hope he did, because he realizes that, oh, I was wrong. I didn't come out of goo. God created. Do you know everything will come back to the truth one way or another? I hope it's walking in your life now, because one day you're going to be faced with it. And some people will have the hard reality that, man, I was so wrong. Pride puffs up. And believe me, that spiritual blindness sets in. It's like the mother of idolatry. Sometimes pride keeps us from serving, and we get way off over here. I mean, understand what I'm saying. All these people, they knew God, but they didn't glorify God. They kept their heart in sin. And as we progress in these areas, it's going to get deeper. You just won't stop with this little area. You're going to progress, and the progression is unbelievably terrible. Look at verse 23. They changed the glory of the incorruptible God into images made like man, birds, four-footed beasts, creeping things like crocodiles. Notice they change the image of God. You can't stay neutral. You'll worship something else. You'll worship the created things rather than the creator who's blessed forever. I know people that worship trees. I do, personally. It's like it's nuts. Why do you do that? I love nature. I find the Lord in nature. What Lord? It isn't Jesus. He may have created it all, but why don't you worship him instead of the tree that he made? How about the stars? Some people get the revelation from the stars. How about the one who made the stars? Come on. Believe me, any idol worship is separate from him. It's not the Lord. It's like, I'm God, and I've done everything to give you that knowledge. I even had my own son tell you, and yet you still don't want it. You don't want to retain God in your knowledge. And I break down mankind, I can see that truth. So some people, like, they hear it, I don't want that. Some people like, oh, just get your life right. That just seems too easy, can't do it. Why not? It's the smartest thing ever. And even Satan himself knows that God is real. I said, Satan knows he is real. It's amazing to me that we're the ones that are in unbelief. All the demons know God is real. Even Jesus met that. Have you come to torment us before the time? And Jesus said, be quiet. Come out of them. And yet mankind thinks they're so brilliant, and they don't even recognize the God who created it all. How foolish are we? You can't stay neutral, so you'll go to another level. You'll change the glory to God in the image of man. And if you think about it, the Antichrist, the beast, and the false prophet will be the fullness of that area. When he steps forward, it's like now the embodiment in the flesh now is manifest in this world. And I see us heading there really quick. How hard would it be to have a one-world government today? Come on. We've already looped all the computers together. We're already in those stages. It's already there. Like John the Revelator said, one day you'll be able to see one spot, the whole world. How many of us we have satellites today? All those things are in place. The only thing that's keeping back this thing from collapsing is the Holy Ghost now on planet Earth. He's still holding back those things. And how the church is advancing is by its people who are humbling themselves and praying and seeking his face and coming against those strongholds. How many of us, we still have a vital part in this. Most of the church is still babied. Most of the church is still infancy when it comes to these areas. They walk in, they walk out, and they think that's Christianity. It's more than that. You're serving a Lord. Come on, it's a real kingdom. There's a kingdom of darkness, and there's a kingdom of our dear son Jesus. And believe me, it's in operation today. We need to pray, Lord, open up their eyes again that they can see. Amen? Now, how many here were deep stooped in sin and God still reached you? Aren't you glad for the grace of God? Don't give up on people. But aren't you glad you didn't die in that condition? Amen? I think this loss of the basketball player here recently kind of brought the world to like, anyone at anywhere at any time can pass away, no matter how much you own. Say amen. I kind of hope it sparks a little bit of revival in some people's hearts. Like, man, I need to get it right. Amen. Here's what happens. In Romans 1:23, they changed the glory of the incorruptible God in the images made unto man. That means they substitute the visible for the invisible. They take God out of the equation by his spirit and start to focus it on man, on self, on animals, instead of the great God Jehovah. They have an opportunity. He's already given them his word. He's already given them his spirit. He's already spoke from heaven. There's a witness across the planet that he's real. I choose not to retain that. And now I'm going to take the incorruptible God and make it like unto men. It's no different today. We got idols everywhere in this nation. We can make people idols, and we can even make ourselves an idol. Amen? I worship me. Isn't that what it comes down to? Me, I. This is the me, I generation across the board. Amen? And have you ever noticed that even driving around, there's another layer of impatience today. I swear I get cut off one or two times every day. And I know the people aren't, I'm guessing, trying to be rude, but we're all headed somewhere so fast that it's like, I need to get there. I need to do that. You're in my way. I need to be in front of you. Whatever happened to prefer others better than yourself? Anybody else see that? Amen. Look at verse 24. Wherefore, since all this is true, God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. In verse 24, verse 26, and verse 28, God gave them over to that. Not that he's being mean. He's saying, since you've turned from me, you now, this is your portion. You're now walking in your own power, your own strength, and your own flesh. It's turned over to those things. It's like there's no in between. There's no neutral ground here. What more can God do if you forsake? Paul is saying what happens when God turns men over, men lose themselves because they've lost God. when he's not far from any one of us. He stands at the door and knocks. God says, all right, if you don't want me, I'll let you go. How about this? I won't try to stop you, but you'll have to face the consequences on your own for your own actions. Can you see that as a loving father? How about a God of the universe? I never want to put God in a bad light. He's not trying to be mean to these individuals. He's not trying to say, I don't care about you. It's like this. If you don't want me, you want to leave, I won't stop you. But you'll have to face the consequence of your sin. And the wages of sin is death. Can you see how the loving God hurts in this arena? Can you see how he's like, oh, please don't go down that road. Don't do those things. But if that's your choice, the God side of our life is we can choose. Do you know that? He's built choice in every man. Choose you this day. Sometimes our choices blow it. I bet all of us at one time, if we could back up the clock, we'd do a few things different. Anybody here? Not do that. Say no to that. That wasn't right. Made that decision. These passages here describe the downward spiral of mankind as they steadily move away from God. And who in here wants to face the consequence of your own actions? And see, that's the ultimate white throne judgment. You will face the consequence for your actions. You chose this. And everything will be recorded just in case you don't think it's real. And God can remember as much as he can forget. Oh, say amen. Not one sin will be forgotten on the white throne judgment. When God didn't want to have any of that. And that's the gripping part about hell, where they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's going to be like this. This is all my fault. I chose this. I chose these actions. And the holy God, remember, God so loved the world, true? That'll still be right in front of them. And I can see the compassion and the hurt in Jesus' heart when he says, depart from me, never knew you. That is going to be the saddest day that God still has to deal with. It's recorded, it's going to happen, but God takes no joy in the death of the wicked. None! He takes no joy in it. But mankind, can you see how we can deceive ourselves? We will be with the enemy in torment forever. Those who left their first estate, God's done everything. You don't want me? I'm not going to try to stop you. I've done everything I can. You want to leave? You can. Just like when the prodigal son left his father, he left a loving home. He left a providing home. He left a family, a whole generation. Give me my inheritance. I want to go. And the father just had to, I don't want your son to leave. Come on. How many want to stay close to the Lord? Amen. How many want to stay close to him? Amen. It's so important. How many feel a little conviction there? Each step we take when we're outside of God means we're further and further away, but we also go deeper and deeper in moral depravity. The more we keep walking away from the Lord, the deeper we get in sin. And sometimes we don't think, well, I'm not doing that bad. There's people doing worse. Sin is sin. It doesn't matter. It's sin is sin. And then I learned this. We start sinning against ourselves. There are three stages that we're going to get to in these next portions. We're going to go from bad to worse still. I mean, that's pretty awful. I like to say we can leave on a positive note tonight. Everything is cool. But the truth is, if society doesn't turn, believe me, all moral values are going to be turned upside down. And if you read in the book of Revelation, it says this. Men would rather serve themselves than serve the Lord. And then one day they will bow down and have to worship the beast, the false prophet, and the Antichrist. That's coming. No one will be able to buy or sell without the mark. That means that there's a cataclysmic event going on in the world that people will rather take a mark than starve to death. Can you see how it's going to be placed in an area? There'll be no choice. I'm glad I'm serving the Lord. Amen. Say amen. Amen. Look at verse 26. For this cause, since they didn't want God, they've turned the truth into a lie. They worship creation rather than the Creator. God gave them over. And when it gets to these areas, they start to, verse 27, and these next verses I'll get next week. They also, men leaving the natural use of women, burned in lust one towards another. Men with men working things unseemly and receiving in themselves the recompense of error of their rewards. How many think it's going to go deeper? When we get to verse 29, we'll get into this. Being filled with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, prideful, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, without natural affections. Do you see how the list is going from bad to worse to worse? You don't stay neutral because you've left God. And now God said, listen to me, you don't want me? I'm there. But now you're going to pay the consequence of your sin. How many people's lives have been shortened because they lived in sin? Amen? I know this for a fact. I remember one time, this is like a lot of years ago, when I was a youth pastor, I preached a message. And that particular night, I had to work a night shift in the police department. And I end up seeing a student that I had in the youth group end up losing their life because they party with their friends after a service. Wrapped around a pole, killed them. When I looked in the car and I seen the bloody mess, I go, man, I recognize that student. And the person, in the most part, was like every other student. But sometimes evil communication corrupts good morals. All it takes is a driver who's stoned. Doesn't matter who the rest of the car is. I mean, that's reality. Lord, I want to serve you. It's not a matter of just staying away from sin. It's like, Lord, I want to keep myself from this. And Lord, if I fail, I'm going to be quick to repent. Quick to repent. Because blindness can set in by a hardness of heart. It's like, even in the book of Revelation, it says this, you need to get some eye salve so you can see you're missing it. Lord, let me always have clear vision. Say amen. Come on, we should start serving and say, God, I want to know you and walk in your ways. Not to see how far I can move from you. All these things that are happening are totally on the people. Totally what they've done, not what God's done. And can you imagine how many times in this room has the Holy Spirit knocked on your heart? Say, come on, come on, come on, let's go, come on, come on, come on. He stands at the door and knocks. Sometimes he raps really loud. But it's amazing to me how we push that out. And then here's where drugs and alcohol alter. When it starts to get in the psyche and you start living in vain imaginations, your mind goes in areas. And then you start thinking things that are wrong. Then you start to feed the appetites and all of a sudden now you're in a real mess. You can't even figure out what's up and down anymore. I have compassion for people who are drug addicted. You know what that means? You know what an overdose is? A little more than you had last time. And sometimes it's so much your body can't take it anymore and you die. Yeah. How many of us are looking for something? And now this dependency is set in. Lord, help us. Lord, help the church to be there. But we have to have a standard of righteousness. If every believer walked in the Word, it starts to set a different standard. But if half the believers do this and it's okay, and half the believers do this and it's okay, where's the standard of righteousness? Our standard is Christ Jesus. Can you see what happens when people walk away or don't want God in their knowledge? It's serious business. See, when we read this, some people say, well, it's the wrath of God coming down on people. No, it's God's mercy saying, listen to me, if you walk away, this is the consequence. And this describes our country today, doesn't it? This describes our world today. But it shouldn't describe the believer. Amen. He's got this portion of scripture saying, this is what's in the world. This should not be named among you. Oh, that's good preaching today. Sometimes we have to look and say, God, I'm going to hide your word in my heart lest I sin against you. Amen? Now, I don't want to leave you on a downer note here, but this is serious business. How many can understand the truth in that? How many understand the love of God in the midst of this? I've been under preachers say, that's the wrath of God. These people deserve what they get. Ah! When God's saying, listen to me, the reason why they're getting all this is because now they're walking in their own ways. And none of us want to walk in our own ways. How many want divine protection from the Almighty? Say amen. And then when we get in us, here's another layer we haven't got to yet. When you start opening yourself up to the spiritual side that isn't Christ, the black arts, the witchcraft, a whole new dimension opens up. And when people don't think it's real. Yes, yes. But it also opens up an area now that now your spirit is infilled with that enemy. Amen. And possession comes by an open door. Do you know Jesus cast out a lot of devils? Isn't it amazing that the church was going on during that day, and when Jesus showed up, everything flew apart? The church needs to walk more in that power. Don't be freaked out if there's manifestations happen. Hello? We'll just cast it out. And if it doesn't come out in Jesus' name, let me give you a little instruction here. Sometimes it's their own ability, their own self, because that spirit has to bow to Jesus. I've seen some people conjure up their own things when all they need to do is just sit down. You're okay. But if it's a true spirit, it's coming out of that individual. Say amen. Because truthfully, it can't stay there. The house needs to be open. So we'll go into that later. Hallelujah. Somebody say, God is good. How many are glad for his mercy? How many are glad that his love is there? How many are glad that you're saved? I'm glad you're here tonight. I'm going to close with this statement. The wrath of man is passion and destroys the sinner. But God's wrath is calm and holy power and restores the sinner by destroying the sin. Always keep God's perspective like he's a good God. That even in the midst of all these sin, they can still repent. Thank God for that. Amen? Where would we be without it? But I'm glad you stopped, because I don't know if it would have wiped you out or not. Say amen? How many of those, Lord, I want to be free. I want to be free to serve my God. I don't want to see how far I can get away from God to be saved. I want to see how close I can and am saved. Amen? And then the next thing is, if people are justifying their sin, it's not scriptural. There's no way in scripture does God justify your sin. He says repent. That's a grace word. If you hear believers say, well, it's okay, Jesus did this. Come on. He's the most holy guy I ever met in my whole life. Don't lump him into your sin or your reasons why you are sinning. Amen? When Jesus changed the water into wine, how many understand that portion? And the guy said, you saved the best for last. Wine is made from fermented grapes. True? When he touched the wine, he touched things that made it more pure than ever. So these people tasted something they never tasted before. They tasted what it's like in heaven by the hand of God. Say amen. I mean, sometimes we're like, no, you had the hand of God touch that. There's no destruction in the hand of God. Decaying fruit made that your stuff. This I made with my hand. Hello? Sometimes we're like so carnal in those things. I don't want God to touch what you have. Say amen. Amen. Now think about it. The boy had a few fishes. Couple of loaves of bread, and God, what did he do? He touched it, and what happened to it? Did all of a sudden that little fish become a whale? Or did it now, I've expanded that. Now it's bread from heaven and food from heaven. And the Bible says they were all filled. Oh, man. Man, think about it. That meal filled them. Your God is a giving God. And he's warned mankind, don't stay in sin. And if you take me out of your knowledge, you're going to open yourself up to a world of hurt, no matter who you are or how smart you think you are. And if you don't want me in your knowledge, you'll die in that portion. And one day you'll see I'm still the truth. Let's pray, church. Amen. Father, thank you for this time. That, Lord, you're a good God. And Father, I always wanted you to have the light that you deserve. You're a good God. But Lord, you said, Lord God, if we choose, you'll say, okay, then you'll pay the consequence. Your mercy will be there. Your Holy Spirit will be knocking. But Lord, you never force anyone to serve you. Neither will you ever. So Father, tonight, by our will, we choose to serve you. We choose to lay down our life. We choose, Father, to walk your ways. Your ways are better than ours. Lord, we want to be sick of sin and walk with our Savior. Father, for those that are away from you, Lord, open up their eyes again, Lord. Lord, let them get sick of their sin. Lord, I pray their sin won't overwhelm them and take them out. But God, there's great mercy upon that. Lord Jesus, like the prodigal son, he finally looked up. Lord, let him look up again. Lord, bring him to that end, that they can be saved and spared. Now, Father, help us to retain this word in our hearts, Lord, and grow in your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.